Not only are you a dab hand at this playing the cello thing, but you're also rather good about writing about it. I've been reading your blogs on the Huffington Post, and they've been both funny and rather poignant as well. There's one in particular where you, I don't know if it's even ceremonial, but you put all the parts, all your quartet parts, in the basement, and it feels something like a burial. What did it feel like to you?
It was a very strange sensation to put away a Beethoven quartet and know that in all likelihood I would never play that piece again. These pieces have been such a part of my existence musically for so many years now. But, you know, as I put away one piece, I on purpose went to my music shelf and I got out a new one and said to myself, you know, the life of a musician is one of exploration.
Well, the life of you, I would say.
Well, it's the life of a creative artist should be about exploration and discovery almost in a constant way. And so I have to remain true to that, and I have to challenge myself, even though I'm venturing into unfamiliar and sometimes insecure territory. I feel it's the healthy decision, and I'm at peace with that.
Going back on again to refer to what you felt was your role in this quartet, you joined in 79, it was already in existence, and you've been around it for a lifetime for some people. You say that you are both the janitor of the group and the musical anchor from a dynamic and a rhythmic point of view. Well, which is it? Are you the guy who takes out the trash, or are you the king of on the pedestal?
You know, I think the guy who takes out the trash sometimes winds up ruling the roost.
Right, because the king of everything.
if the trash is not taken out, the place can get pretty messy, you know. I don't think there's anybody who's played the cello in a string quartet, even for a short time, that wouldn't agree with my assessment of the cello's role.
Yeah, but there are also two violinists and a violist who would also consider that to be their role, right?
Yeah, they don't take out the trash, though. They, you know, I was just thinking about this on the way to Philadelphia today, that the role of the cello, as I know it, you know, changes quite drastically whether I'm playing a duo recital, whether I'm playing a string quartet, whether I am playing a cello quintet with two cellos, whether I'm playing a piano trio
or a piano quartet.
It, you know, it's always a little different what you're required to do. So the whole janitorial thing that I was speaking about in the blog was very much specific to the string quartet. In a duo situation, in a sonata by Beethoven or Brahms, it's a totally different story. In a large ensemble work like a Schubert octet, for example, it is yet another. So I think one of the lucky things for cellists is that our instrument is so useful. As a composer's used it, great composers used it in so many different ways, and so we're like a successful actor, we are required to change our roles and our characters to suit the requirements.
You say you're taking on new and unfamiliar roles. One of those is a proper teaching job. You're taking your first actual fixed. Why now? Why so late?
I have never before now, except in my teens, felt that I had the time and attention to devote to somebody in such a way that I was really responsible for their musical development as their primary instrumental teacher. I've gotten quite good at the one-stop lesson assessment, the masterclass format. I've had a lot of experience doing that. I dare say I can give, in an hour, I can give somebody a very comprehensive summary of where they are, where I think they need to go, what aspects of their playing they should maybe work on, and also just some tips on how to get there on their own, you know, without me or without anyone else. But the idea of actually charting a long-term course and sailing it with a student, or as I like to call them, a colleague, because, you know, you can't. A real teaching relationship is a partnership between the student and the teacher. Unless you have agreement on both sides, it doesn't really go anywhere. That is a daunting and pretty unfamiliar experience, and I'm starting very small. I'm starting with a class of very limited in the number of some of the most incredibly talented kids I have ever met in my entire life.
And how did
I figure that's the safest way to do it. I can probably go wrong the least because they're going to do great no matter what I do, I think. All I should do is encourage and guide them. But I'll see how it goes. And what I hope to do is to develop eventually a very, very fine world-class cello studio at Juilliard.
And all this happening while you're still doing music in Menlo, you're still doing a festival in Korea, you're doing something, remind me again, there's another festival that you're involved with.
Well, there's music at Menlo on the West Coast, there's the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, there is Chamber Music Today in Korea, which is an annual festival in December, very short, but still,
Lincoln Center.
But still it's a festival, and the Chamber Music Society is constantly expanding its exploits these days overseas a lot. Next year, for example, I will be able to tour with the Chamber Music Society for the first time ever. It's a long time, considering I've been there since 2004. So the free time allowed me by my departure from the Emerson Quartet opens up a lot of new opportunities for me in scenarios that already exist.
Does that stretch to, or would you ever dream of, concerto solos?
Next year I have a couple of Dvorak concertos, a Brahms double, a couple of Beethoven triples concertos, a Schumann concerto.
Ah, so you have thought of it then.
Yeah, and this summer a Britten cello symphony at the Aspen Music Festival. So yes, concertos I quite love playing, and I'll have much more time for that in the future.
Is it true that you told the other members of the quartet that you were leaving by email? And that they were actually very grateful to you because they figured that if you told them at a rehearsal, nothing would get done? Or is that just a rumor?
I can't remember whether it was an email or an actual paper letter, but it was not an in-person thing. You know, if I am going to receive news that requires some time to digest and some thought, I prefer to receive it not in person. I prefer to have some time to digest and think just for myself so that I can react properly. I wanted to afford my colleagues that leeway, and also I wanted, through the written word, the opportunity to express myself very, very accurately and very carefully. You know, it was, I dare say it was a shock for my colleagues, but not necessarily a surprise. They all know.
How long had you been thinking about it?
Oh, I had been thinking about it for several years, probably, but really came to the decision only during the summer months of 2011. And you know, once I got there, it was very clear to me that it was the right thing to do, not only for myself but for the quartet. And as everyone knows now, the Emerson Quartet has changed itself into another kind of string quartet, one that will self perpetuate. That has an unlimited future as of now. And this, for me and for the quartet, have been two mutually wonderful and occasions to celebrate.
You talk about life on the road with the quartet as being very difficult from a practical point of view, in that an orchestral player has everything taken. If they're on tour, they get everything taken away. They put their stuff in a trunk backstage, and somebody takes it away and puts it in the same place in the next hall, and they get on a plane and swan around in five-star hotels. And soloists get, you know, much of the same treatment, whereas you guys can and have traveled together in a single car with the instruments in the cabin. The instruments are not allowed to go in the trunk. Can you talk a little bit about that, or was that something at all that might have influenced your decision that this might be a time to retire?
Well, I'm not joining an orchestra, and I'm not looking to have my cello carried around for me. No, it's you know, it's been a challenge, but it's also been a joy to travel with the other guys and to have that little bit of sense of adventure to travel. I mean, being taken care of is wonderful, but also, you know, finding your way to a concert in a hill town in Italy when you don't know really where the hell you are and you have to ask some little kid on a motor scooter to lead you to, you know, to the hall. You know, those are incomparable experiences, and I really wouldn't exchange those for the easy way out. I bet you if you talk to my colleagues that some of the fiascos and you know, near misses in terms of some of our concerts have been some of the most memorable and, in retrospect, some of the funniest occurrences that have happened in our career. I will say that the amount of time I do spend traveling now is in excess of what I feel is good for me artistically. It prevents me from learning more music and for tending to obligations, especially to the institutions that I serve now, to the extent that I should. So instead of, you know, in future seasons, by a couple of years from now, I hope to be playing 60 to 70 concerts a season rather than 150, which is what I'm playing now. I know plenty of major artists who play 60 to 70 concerts a year, and it's plenty for them. And it should be plenty for me. I don't worry about getting out of shape.
You're a very busy person, though. You are somebody who spends a lot of time working. I mean, working, practicing, performing, teaching, organizing, taking care of the business of the road. I mean, is there any dream time for you, or is this a part of the reason to leave the quartet?
Something I am very curious to experience is the concept of free time. You know, when you're... if you are a little bit behind your curve all the time in terms of being on schedule, on time for things, you really have no free time, because then you have to elect between getting even further behind or just taking or stealing free time. And you're really stealing it from your own productivity, because you're losing in both ways. No, experiencing free time. The other day somebody told me that when they had something difficult to think about, that they would like to go out between work sessions and take a walk. And I told them that the last time I had taken a walk that I could remember was about 25 years ago. I mean, just take a walk. You know, I walk to the subway, I walk to Lincoln Center, I walk many places. But to just just go out for a walk is something I haven't done in 25 or 30 years. And I think I'd like to find out what that's like. I have no idea. I'd also like to see what would happen if I started to take care of myself.
You look very fit, though. I know how old you are, and you look a good 10 years younger.
I'm luckily quite fit, but who knows what would happen if I started to, you know, to work out and do the things that people normally do for themselves, even 20 years younger than me. So I don't know. It could be bad. Maybe it'll be a disaster, because I feel great right now. But I'd like to know, and I won't be able to know unless I have some more time to do it.
And I mean, it's the old thing. The old adage is, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. do you have any fear about this? Because this has been, you know, the thing about a string quartet and the way it's very different from, say, a rock band is that a rock band will start out and they will go around in a van or in a car. And if they don't cut it after 3 or 4 years, they'll all fall out. And if they do cut it, they'll all fall out after 15 years and come back and do the reunion tour 15 years later. You guys know what you're doing from the get-go, and you knew. And this was the hand that you were dealt, and you had to live this way if you wanted to have this life. Are you afraid that you'll miss that routine? Because that it's a relationship, it's a family of sorts. Right. Any fears about the future?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I don't know what it'll be like not to be in the Emerson Quartet. I can't say. I try to imagine. I know that I have a lot to do. I know that it's not like retiring. It's not like I've had the same job for 34 years, and in the morning I'm not going to go to work. I know that I'm going to get out my cello, I'm going to practice, that I will have rehearsals, that I will have phone calls, that I will have touring, that I will have musician colleagues to talk to. I won't have string quartets. I won't have Gene and Phil and Larry there almost every other day. I don't know what that's going to be like, but I know it's not going to be like all of a sudden I have to find myself another life, another profession, or, you know, I'm not going to go to Vermont and make goat cheese. I'm still going to be making music in a very serious way. I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to be involved in education. I just have lots to do. But in terms of what you say, to be honest, how it's going to feel not to be part of the Emerson Quartet, not to see those guys so often, I really don't know what it's going to be like.